Father, we thank you through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, that you have loved us with an eternal love. We ask you now to be with us during this time of the sermon, that whatever words I speak would be yours, and whatever we hear would be Christ. For that end, dear Lord, bless us now, and let your eternal word have its way. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Two men who realized that they were undone. Isaiah, a young man who was not up for the task. And you get Simon Peter, a fisherman. What does he know about God? It's impossible. I can't do it. I'm undone. Oh no! What happened to Isaiah? The coal touched his mouth, his lips, so that all that he would preach would be Christ. The same is true for your pastor. There's nothing to commend him. He's a nobody, he's a nothing, except that the coals of the Holy Spirit have touched his lips. And the man who will stand in this pulpit every Sunday for you will be a man now of clean lips, because they will be giving Christ to you. And just as the silly fisherman became the great apostle Peter, so indeed he is called, not only that man, but called you by that same gospel to live in that grace and make us all to be fishers of men. It's a powerful thing. There's a lot going on in these texts. And, you know, it's interesting because I was thinking about what it used to be when called into service, just like these two. And now, like Pastor Buckelmeyer will be next Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. He and his bride, his two small children, what a gift that is. Every pastor cherishes his ordination day. You can still remember mine, and I know Kawhi does as well. And then the days of installation, when you go to a new parish, a new flock. Behold, the Lord of all hopefulness has you. By the way, did you notice it's the same? We had this as our opening hymn last week, and I put it as our sermon hymn this week, because I wanted us to know the real joy of all hope, which of course is Christ. So, he's excited, you're excited. There is great Christian hope, which is certainty that God will be leading you now in wonderful ways. But throughout his training, and then in his doing in that first cause as a pastor, Pastor Buckelmeyer engages in every man as he realizes that his call is not his choice. His call is not his will. No, it's God's holy gift to him. You, beloved, are God's holy gift to Pastor Joel. I want you to hear that. And this dear pastor and his family, they are all the gift of God to you. If it was your choice or his choice, it would be as good as today's fashion choices might be. And I well remember that when I was in college in the mid-70s, that the leisure suit was in style. I chose a leisure suit. I got good taste. Good choice. No, it's not a matter of my choice. It's not a matter of your choice. It's a matter of God's gift. How beautiful that is. This is so because what you share is God's gift of his word, of his spirit, of the sacraments. Also that God would shine into the hearts and lead the lives of his beloved. It's all done because he loves you. Saturday we will see not Pastor Buckelmeyer at work, not even our esteemed president of the district at work. No, we will witness God knit together into one flesh, a kind of a holy matrimony, if you will, of pastor and people. Also that, to stretch the metaphor just a little bit more, we would all see in our corporate self, that you all see here in this family of Shepherd of the Valley, Oceanside, that you are the bride of Christ, the bride of the Lamb, made holy by his blood and by his righteousness. And that, beloved, is good stuff indeed. Isaiah, the grand Old Testament gospeler, receives his divine call in our Old Testament lesson today. It's a grand epiphany lesson, for it shows how God speaks to his bride through the cleansed lips of ordinary men, called and empowered by the most extraordinary God. "Who will go for me?" asks the Lord, knowing that his call is effective. "Here am I, send me," says Isaiah, says Pastor Luckemeyer. Now, while Isaiah was to preach to make hearts dull, in a very real sense, so it is for your pastor, to make you dead to all things that are of this world, also that you would receive the fullness of that which is eternal. This is indeed the Lord of all hopefulness. And the epistle, oh, it was wonderful. St. Paul speaks to the Corinthian church and to you and to me, dear ones here at Shepherd of the Valley, using the gift of tongues, he says, to speak of that which will build up the church, looking to the power of the Lord God to build up, to edify, to bring to maturity, not the unintelligible, but only that stuff which, by the way, the unintelligible builds up the self, but to use the intelligible that will build up everyone else. I've done a lot of study on the gift of tongues, because back in the 70s it was kind of a big thing, and so we had to look at it very, very carefully. You all speak in tongues. I remember when my girls were little, maybe like they were 18 months apart, so 17 months apart, so basically they were, you know, you were talking 5-year-old and 4-year-old, or 5-year-old and 3-year-old, or 6-year-old and 4-year-old. That's not how we normally speak, is it? That's not how I normally talk. And yet, what do? You get down on their level, and you use 4-year-old and 6-year-old words, don't you? You are making intelligible to that child in their language what they need to know, aren't you? That's the gift of tongues. It's speaking in the language of the hearer and not in the language of the speaker, not their normal tongue. That's what the gift of tongues is. It's also that they would be edified and built up. My girls now are very successful women, in banking and one as a principal, and they've given us 3 beautiful grandchildren, and now they're using their gift of tongues to speak to our 7-year-old grandson and 6-year-old and 4-year-old granddaughters. It's beautiful to see how that continues. And the most important thing that they are giving to our grandchildren is Christ. The most important thing that we share together is Christ. And so, that's the beauty of what is being given there. We're given the privilege of bringing Christ to childlike hearts and ears. There are people out there who may never have heard the Bible stories that you and I take for granted, that we know so well. We get to speak to them and give them Christ. This time, as your new pastor arrives, is a great time to look anew at yourselves and at this church. Yes, you are, and I can say this with all certainty, a loving and a giving family. But we must never be smug about this. But we are to serve our own family here and the community around us. A great reminder indeed. You have so much love, so much grace, so much Christ to give. Joining together with your new pastor and his family, I see the light of Christ in this valley. Behold, the Lord of all hopefulness is at work among you. And then we turn to this amazing gospel lesson. It's like the left side of a... I want to give you, first of all, the idea of bookends. You know how I love books, and I've had books on shelves forever, and quite often they go from shelf to shelf, and I don't need a bookend. But occasionally you'll have a bookend, you'll have a shelf where you want to put something else up there, so you need something that'll hold them from falling down. One on the left and one on the right. Well, today's gospel is a left-hand bookend, and then at the end of John's gospel is the right-side bookend. Because you should have been thinking about the post-resurrection account of Jesus as you heard this, where he is making the coal fire on the shore, and they all come in, and they're tired, and it's late, meaning it's early in the morning, because professional fishermen fished at night. They knew how the currents ran in the lake. They knew how, when the winds would blow, different things would happen. They knew what the submarine vegetation was and how it was growing, the times and seasons of the year. They knew how to fish, and they knew how to catch. Now, I'm not a gambler, but I do know this, that if you go to Las Vegas and you bet, I think it's Keno where you pick the numbers, is that the game? If you get a completely clear card, meaning that you got nothing, that's a bigger win than if you got one or two, right? Because it's not probable. It's more probable that you'll get at least one, which means nothing, or two, which still means nothing, as opposed to getting a blank card. Professional fishermen don't come back empty-netted, ever. The first miracle that happened with this catch where the apostles are being called into the ministry, and the greatest miracle, well, the first miracle that happened at the post-resurrection account there in John, is that they came back with empty nets. That shouldn't happen. That's a miracle. That should have told them something. But in our first miracle, the one today in Luke, they come back, and they're tired, and they're discouraged, and they pulled the boats up to the shore, and they pulled the nets out, and they've been washing the nets, getting all of the junk and gunk and stuff out of them so that they can get them ready to put back in the boats for the next night. And they're tired, and there's Jesus. And he wants to preach to the crowds. Hey, Simon Peter. Simon, let's go and push the boat out a little bit. Remember that water acts as a megaphone, if you will. And he sat down, and the teacher always sat, the people always stood. Would you like that now? Have me bring up a chair and you all stand for the sermon? That's what they did in those days. And he preached and taught them. And when he was all done with that, and their amazement was fine, they said, oh, by the way, Simon Peter, you know, let's lift up the anchor. And let's go out in a little deeper part there. You know this nice clean net that you saved for tonight? Why don't you throw it overboard? Really? I can just see Simon Peter, because I wear the same size shoes that Simon Peter does. Mm-hmm. I'm just as holy as he is, let me tell you. I put my foot in my mouth more times than I care to name. Okay, yeah, all right. He lets the net down, and the nets are breaking. It's the wrong place at the wrong time, the wrong way. It's three strikes and you're out, except you're not. Get that other boat out here right away. And then both boats are about ready to sink because the catch is so big. The catch at the right-hand bookend in John was 153 large fish. I don't know what the number was here, but it was enough that the nets were going to break. By the way, the nets didn't break. There was no problem at the end of John's gospel. Why? Because now these fisher of men were to know that the gospel works. The effective word works. And I want to give that to you today, because what you have in this family is the effective, true word of God in your hearts and on your lips to give to your neighbors, to give to one another, to encourage and build up one another, and to encourage the world around you. It's amazing stuff that you have before you. Now, you and I don't have the apostolic calling. Indeed, what we are is we're part of their catch. You ever thought about yourself being caught in the net of the gospel? We all are. Each of us here today is caught in that net of the gospel. We're all fish that have been caught by what Simon Peter and the first 12 were able to give out. He's made them to be fishers of men, but he's also made you and me to be fishers of men as well. And that's beautiful. Because after all, don't fish to get fish? I think they do. It's an amazing time in the life of Shepherd of the Valley. You're to receive your new shepherd under the Good Shepherd. You caught fish. You who are the caught fish of God. You will have life and life in you. You have life in you. And that's the light and the life of Christ that is in you. You're privileged to love the unlovable around you, to reflect His grace and His peace, those who are broken and fearful, and to rejoice with those who rejoice. These can be, and quite often are, lonely and fearful times, which is coming out of the COVID, and things are shaking out maybe a little differently than we thought. The shepherd who has called you his own sheep, the great God, who has called you his own, catching you in the net of the gospel, he's put you in the midst of this lonely and fear-filled world and time. It's an exciting time to be the church, to be the bride of Christ. So as you welcome your new pastor, you look forward to his coming this Saturday afternoon, the Lord of all hopefulness has you all. I look forward to seeing how our God will use the marriage of pastor and people to bless not only you all, but this community through you. What a joy. And I want to thank you, and so does my wife, for welcoming us to be a part of your family these past months. You shall be in our hearts and in our prayers. God bless and keep you, all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.